This is the Advanced Selling Podcast. The aim of this podcast is to help business sales teams grow their business with modern strategies and philosophies. Now, your hosts, Bill Caskey and Brian Neal.
Back at the Advanced Selling Podcast, this is Bill Caskey.
This is Brian Neal.
And we are here, as we are every week, to bring you the best content we can make up on the way to the podcast studio.
That's exactly what we do, isn't it?
We're
and it's only about a 4-foot hallway, too, so we get a lot of pressure.
We work quick. That's really, really glad you're a listener. And if you're a new listener, you know that you don't know, but I'm going to tell you. The aim of this podcast is to help you become more effective, more efficient in your sales process, to help you maybe think below the line a little bit. I just made that up.
I like that.
Think below the line of tradition and be a little counterintuitive. Intuitive. Be a little innovative. Come on, man.
It's way better than out of the box.
Oh, yeah.
Way better.
Out of the box is
so
old.
80s. It's like Rubik's Cube.
You know,
so 80s.
I got back from a trip last week, and yeah. I know you travel a lot more than I do, but I always find it interesting that the pilot needs to come on and tell us exactly what altitude we're going to be flying. And I always think it would be funny if he says, well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to American Airlines. It's your pilot, Randy Masterson, and we are... going to be heading into Miami, going to be going over a little patch of dry weather, a little turbulence, and we'll be flying at 87,000 feet today. If anybody would really say, whoa,
wait a
minute,
second. Hang
87,000.
We're supposed to be at 33, not 31, honey.
God,
we need to get off this plane now.
Orbit, man.
I forgot.
Anyway,
that's very funny.
That's good.
Very, very, very funny.
Well, we're going to talk about a topic that we started last week, actually.
We did.
And Brian and Brooke Green, who's one of our other consultants here and partner, we talk a lot about what's the next evolution for us.
Yeah.
And you know, we also talk to a lot of sales organizations and salespeople who have been put in front of trainers who are talking about the same stuff today they talked about 30 years ago. I could have plopped you out of 1970 and put you in 2012, and it's the same stuff just with a slightly different brand dress on it. So we're always looking here at... for example, most sales trainers aren't talking much about social media.
Not really.
Most sales trainers don't talk much about the psychology of the sale.
Right.
Most of them talk about sales process and stuff like that.
Yep.
And so Brian and I have been talking, and Brian, you've got an interesting way to look at the evolution of selling, because I think if we want to know what to do next and what our skills need to be, we really need to know where the profession is going.
Yes.
And you've got a really good way of kind of laying it all out and building some context around it. So
yeah.
Why don't you do that? And
I think,
we'll be back with you in just a few minutes.
I think we'll have the important thing for this is for the listener to say, okay, how can I become an expert? That's where we're headed. So I'm going to start with where we're headed, but take you back through the history of this thing. If you think of just the whole sales and the trade of goods from the past, in the very, very old days, it started off very archaic, where I would give you two goats and a pig for a bag of flour. And that's what we did. Like, you need some flour, I need some pigs, and vice versa. And we trade stuff, right? Mm-hmm. We just traded it, right? And then we started to get into the sales world. And as the 30s and 40s and 50s and the Willie Loman days came on, it became a relationship, three martini lunch deal, right? Mm-hmm. It was the good old boys club. You and I would go. We'd smoke cigarettes and drink at lunchtime. We liked each other. We hit it off. So we would do business together, right? Then that sort of got old. And someone came up with this idea of feature benefit selling. Well, let's instead... of just doing it because we like each other, let's figure out how my product is helpful to you. How does it benefit you? And here's what it does.
It became product-centric.
Very product-centric, yeah. So here's this microphone. It does this. It moves this direction. It's got a 360, omnidirectional, blah, 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 blah. And that benefits you because you can take it anywhere and da-da-da-da-da. It was that way. All right.
And that was probably 60s and 70s.
Yeah, it moved into the And I really learned that when I started my sales career in the early 90s. I learned feature benefit selling from a very, very large, as I like to say, massive consumer goods products based in the Midwest on the Ohio River that shall remain nameless. Then we moved into this idea of being value added, and that became the buzzword, right? Well, what's your value add? And everybody came up with a value menu, and then salespeople say, we're always looking for the value add. What's our value add? So we know what the feature and benefit is, but what is the next rung out to add value? Mm-hmm. That then took us through the 80s and 90s and the early 2000s. Then the next evolution was what people call consultative or need-based selling. So they said, okay, we've got the feature benefit thing. We know where we add value. Instead of us starting and saying how and why, let's ask questions and figure out what they need and then deliver things that people need. And that was need-based selling, or people wrap it up in consultative.
Yeah.
Now, I've said all that, and that really brings us up to today. Now, Bill, you made an interesting observation. What do you see as the common theme from all this relationship, three martini, feature benefit, value added, consultative, need based. What's the common theme that they're all still?
Well, you said a couple things that caused me to think it's really two things. One is that most of these are product centric.
Yeah.
But more than that, at a deeper level, they're all still about me trying to convince you to buy from me.
Correct.
It's a persuasion and convincing game. What do you call it when you veil? You're veiling it in this. Well, I want to find out what you need first, but I guarantee you, I'm going to make my product what you need.
Yeah, and as soon as you tell me what you need, I'm going to pounce on it and show you why you need me. Right, it's all still there. And so we're talking about this. Okay, how can we start to really, really move to the next thing out? And what we are determining here, we're going to do a lot of work on this in 2012, is how do I become and be and speak and act and behave and then be perceived by and treated like an expert in my industry? And so from a salesperson's perspective, what we're going to look at is the next evolution out is that I become an expert. I have expert status in the eyes of my customers and prospects and in the eyes of myself. Are you holding your hand up to ask a question?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I couldn't tell.
You finally saw it. It's been up for like 7 minutes. Sorry. Hang on. I got to rest. Because we talk on the podcast a lot about the fundamental shift, and that's that shift in perspective that we need to have. And one of the shifts is that we have to change the buyer-seller interaction.
Yes.
Away from me convincing the buyer to buy to the buyer convincing me to sell to them. Well, that all sounds good and happy, but how the hell do you do that?
Right.
I mean, that's very difficult to do. If I'm still going in with my feature advantage benefit, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So this really plays into that fundamental shift too, is that we're not only going to tell you that the buyer needs to be selling you a little bit, and then in other words, they need to be working just as hard at telling you what they are looking for as you are in selling them something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really that's the output of this is what occurs then is prospects don't want to just buy your stuff. They want you around them. They want you as a resource to tap into your knowledge when they need it. Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
And so this is going to be an ongoing conversation we have with our clients and with your podcast listeners about how do I over the next several months start to position myself and think of myself as an expert. Think of one of the greatest albums ever, Cheap Trick, live at Budokan. What is that, 77, 76?
No
Surrender?
Idea.
Really?
No
oh,
idea.
Man.
Cheap Trick.
So I want you to want me.
Oh, yeah.
That's the theme of this whole thing. I want you to want me. That's how we have to go into this is thinking we've got to create a positioning with our clients and our customers and our prospects where they're the ones that are saying, I need that person. I can't live without you. I got to call you. I got to have you in my life.
You know, you just said something that is really, I don't want to lose it, and that is this idea of positioning. Really, what we're talking about here is how are you positioned, not just in your prospect's mind, but in your own mind.
Yep.
Are you positioned as a person that they need to have around to implement a solution, or are you positioned as a person that just ships them their products?
That's right.
And it has to start in your own mind. So we're going to give you a couple things here in a moment that will help you start to make that change.
Yes, and to build some context around this, so Bill and I are going to give you a couple to-do items in a minute. Before that, I want to make sure you understand what we mean by expert. We do not mean that you become an expert in your product, and we don't mean that you become an expert about your own stuff. You're probably already there. You probably know your stuff.
Yeah.
We mean you become an expert in your customer's business. That's what this means. And everything that goes around there. So whether that means your industry or whether that means their business or whether that means running a business, you become an expert in their world, not in what you represent. That make sense?
So a good example of that, I think, and I asked this when I was down south here a few weeks ago, because a person was really struggling with this. And I said, okay, what are the biggest mistakes that customers typically make when they buy your product or when they get ready to explore it?
Yeah.
And the person ripped off quickly five or six things that people just miss, not because they're stupid, because they don't buy this stuff all the
time.
And that's a perfect example of it's not about your product. It's about mistakes that your buyers typically make when they get ready to buy something from
Very
you.
Good.
And
Very
I said, good. Have you ever, her name was Tristan. I said, have you ever written this down anywhere? She's like, no, I really haven't. That is, and it just came out of her heart. It wasn't any kind of a script. It was just her relaying to me the story of where her people struggle when they first come in. So part of the assignment here is to start to inventory some of the things that you know about implementation of your product in your customer's business, the mistakes they make, maybe even some insights that you have about how to create a successful implementation of your product.
Yep.
But you're going to have to start inventorying this knowledge asset. Yep. Because you can't write about it, podcast about it, video about it, talk about it if you don't have it down in writing in some way.
Yep. And if you're doing this on your own, or I'd also highly suggest if you're in a part of a sales group or if you're a sales manager to make this an exercise over the next couple of sales meetings, is to ask yourself the question, what do we know about our customer's business that they would pay money for? What knowledge do I have that they would love to know? And you use examples. I mean, if you're someone that calls on dentists, and one of the biggest pains dentists have is keeping and finding good, talented hygienists. And it may have nothing to do with the cotton balls that you sell them. But if you were to catalog and ask all your peers, if you sell and you call on dentists, and we get some listeners that do, and you sat around and say, okay, who knows some best practices about hiring and keeping hygienists? And someone says, oh, I know this one does this and that and the other, and he makes them like small equity partners and da-da-da-da. Brilliant idea. Take that, catalog it, say we know some best practices on how to hire great hygienists. Then we'll teach you in subsequent podcasts what to do with that knowledge. Write it down in a podcast, a white paper. Then all of a sudden you're positioning yourself as an expert in the dental world, not as someone who sells cotton balls to dentists.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
So I've got two different things here.
Go ahead.
We've talked about two different assignments. One is get to know what the problems in your market are with your customer. So
outside of what you do.
So if you're in a whatever, you understand what that means. But in your niche, what are the top 10 problems your customers have generally in a business?
In your business, right.
So that will be a start. And the second thing is, what are the most common mistakes customers make when they either explore buying a product similar to yours or when they buy it and they can't implement it, when they analyze it? It could be mistakes they make any number of ways during the process. But one of these is obviously more about your solution and solutions like yours, but the first one is really about generic problems. If you start there, you're going to be amazed at how much just starting down those two little paths there will open up for you.
Be awesome. You'll be absolutely amazed is a great word. Yeah. Maybe I'm amazed. So those are your assignments. We're going to talk more about this in subsequent podcasts. You're going to hear a lot about this. Read about it in our blog over the next year or so. This is going to be a really, really important topic for us.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about this every week, but we would like to hear if you have, and you can email us at listener@advancedsellingpodcast.com, and we'd like to hear specifically what you did and what you learned from the process, and we may want to have a couple of listeners on sometime, because sometimes it's nice to hear the way somebody else does it, even though I'm not the same profession you are, you're going to bring value to me by sharing with me how you do it.
That'd be awesome.
We want to hear from you at listener@advancedsellingpodcast, or of course, if you have some more generic comments, go to the LinkedIn group. Also, one more, anything else on this topic?
No, that's good. We get more to come.
We get questions sometimes from our listeners, very specific questions about their business. You know, Bill, Brian, I've got a call coming up next week. I'm thinking about this. How would I handle it? And we got to be careful with the time we spend. So we would prefer you put those in the LinkedIn group. That's kind of why the LinkedIn group is there. And so we had a couple last week, and I probably offended the people by saying, you know, I just don't have time to answer individual questions. Plus, we get paid for that smiley face.
good job on the smiley
but,
face.
But make sure that you use the LinkedIn group, because that really is a great forum for these kinds of questions. Now, we do participate in that, not all the time, but if we see a question that we think really demands a little time, we'll come in and answer it. But that's a great way to use that LinkedIn group.
Beautiful.
All right. Anything else?
No.
Some awkward silence.
I was waiting to hit 15 on the nose, and we're out.
Yeah, okay.
See you next time. Bye.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast, presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to BillCaskey.com or to iTunes.